Chapter 37. Marjorie sat at her holiday table, renewed by the idea that Ronald still believed in Jesus. Why else would he have played that song and taken the time to show her these words? She and Angel had acknowledged each other, but nothing more. Marjorie was resolutely disapproving and taciturn toward Angel, who seemed content to return the favor. Most people had gathered for the meal. Bumpy's brother Lumpy had already staked out a corner of the table and was eager, almost salivating, to begin to shovel the food into his mouth. His girth dwarfed George's 3X, and he was there for food. Being seated next to Lumpy was a burden that no one wanted. There was little conversation, and sometimes sounds that were low and unfamiliar and guttural as he ate. Normally, he would just start shoveling, but Marjorie had trained him to wait until after everyone was seated and they said grace. George's sister and her husband, who were also educators in Newark, were convivial as they waited for their son to arrive. Their daughter and her friend had contributed a good amount of labor to the meal. Later there would be more people, a steady stream of them, but this was the dinner portion of the evening. Marjorie called out to Bumpy in an annoyed voice, "Do you think we should all sit here and stare at each other, or are you coming to the table?" "I'll be right there," said Bumpy, who waited for the kitchen to be cleared to ladle extra portions of olive oil on the food. They just did not understand that there could never be too much olive oil, even though they had used about 2 gallons that day. This was the extra virgin oil that she liked to have things swimming in. Bumpy came in and sat down. Marjorie asked Ron to say grace. Ron passed it off to Paula, which annoyed Marjorie. "Bless us, dear Lord, and these thy gifts that we are about to receive from your bounty, through Christ our Lord. Amen," said Paula quickly, as she blessed herself. Marjorie half scowled, and she looked to see if Ron followed suit. He did not. Neither did Angel, who was sitting next to him. But Celeste dutifully blessed herself, along with George's family. Marjorie peered at Bumpy to see what she did, and scowled as she quickly made the sign of the cross. Lumpy got up and headed for the island of food immediately. One had the impression that he would have knocked down anyone in his way. The front door opened, and Paula's brother finally arrived. George breathed a little easier, but scowled nonetheless. He had not seen his nephew since the summer. He was sitting at dinner. His nephew could get his own drink. "So, how's being vice principal?" said Anthony Rasiopi. Anthony was a reading specialist who had not seen more than a student at a time for 15 years. Now he saw no students and was happier for it. He enjoyed analyzing test results. "It's different," said Ron. "It's nothing like the classroom." "Yep," said Angel sarcastically. "My dad, the pothead, gets to be the school narc." Marjorie glared at Angel as there was a soft chuckle around the table. "Did you ever decide to graduate high school?" shot Marjorie. Angel smirked. "Nope. I didn't have to put up with any of that bullshit. Went straight to college." Marjorie said, half rhetorically, half mocking, "Who ever heard of such a thing?" "A GED is a great option for some kids who will thrive in college but have trouble in high school." "True, Anthony," said Ron. Statistically speaking, kids in college with a GED do just about as well who those who went the more traditional route, said Anthony. Of course, Ron knew this, but Marjorie would find it less of a defense hearing it coming from Anthony. Marjorie felt rebuked. Lumpy continued to shovel long after people had eaten their meal. He was going back for his fourth helping of everything. Marjorie watched him with an amazed disgust. She had spoken to Bumpy about him not grabbing a fork with his fist, but that training never registered. It occurred to Ron that there was no one there for this meal with whom he had the slightest interest in talking. There might be a joke or a laugh that amused for a moment, but it was soon something he forgot. More people began arriving for dessert. Ron was sure they would never get out of there. Angel was bored and getting antsy. Celeste was doing her making the best of it routine that no one recognized except for him and her. Marjorie went into the kitchen after dinner and before dessert and said, "Ouch!" as she pricked her finger for blood, and then winced deeply when Bumpy gave her the insulin shot in her belly. The meal was followed by gifts and gifts and more gifts. Paula and Honey were in charge of collecting wrapping paper, and by the end of the night, they had 3 40-gallon trash bags of the stuff gathered. There was one gift that he would remember. Paula and Honey had taken a picture of the fan-back chair that he loved so much, the only piece that he had taken of his Aunt Dottie's furniture, the one he gave back to his mother after it was miraculously spared from his apartment fire. He had begged his mother for the chair back, and she had refused. This was their humor. At about 10 o'clock, Ron reminded Marjorie that he had a puppy at home and they needed to be going. "I feel like I never see you anymore," complained Marjorie. "I'm just really busy," said Ron. "Too busy to pick up the phone and call your mother," said Marjorie. The ride home was a quiet one as the three people tried to shake the noise and food haze from their heads. They would do it again at Celeste's sister's house in about 12 hours.